Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you for tonight. I thank you for the people who came out to sit at your table. I thank you, Father, that you know us from inside out. You know what we have need of and what we don't have need of. And Father God, this service is your service, and we turn it over to you. We ask you, God, to do what you do best, and that's minister to your people on their level. And Father God, let your Holy Spirit speak truth into your people's lives. And let your angelic host be ministering to the people. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his blood and his name. We thank you that we are allowed to worship with you, Father God, in the open, not being afraid of if we're going to be killed or not. We thank you, Father, for freedom. We thank you for holiness and purity of heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's such a heaviness in the atmosphere today. It hasn't lifted. It's still there. And I don't know if you feel the same thing, but it just feels like you don't know really where you fit in right now today. You just don't know what's going on or you know, just what God's trying to do within your life. And God said that we would have moments like that because we've never been this way before. And what we have to do in these hours of not understanding what God's doing in our lives is just hold on. Just hold on to what he's promised us. And then just let him walk us through it. Because I don't know about you, but I know that my God is in control of all things. And no, I don't understand what he does 99% of the time. And the other percent, I guess I'm just sort of guessing. Because God said we don't understand his ways and how true that is. And we all know that, you know, we thought we were going to walk one way, but God's having us walk another way. And we've gone down roads we never thought we'd ever go down. And it wasn't for our benefit, but it was for the benefit of those who are lost and undone and have not yet met our Savior. So, you know, as the days go forward, you know, God has promised that even in this gross darkness, his light would be shining so bright and we would just be excited that the gross darkness would not bother us anymore. And I know the gross darkness every now and then sort of grabs hold of you for a second and I don't know about you, but I would say, all right, God, what's going on now? What are you trying to show us? You know, and sometimes he tells me, sometimes he doesn't, but it doesn't matter if he tells you or not. Either he's your father or he isn't your father. And as we learned this morning, he is God Almighty, and he could do whatever he wants to because you said, here I am. Use me. All right. Tonight, I've entitled this, Can God Use You? And Matthew 20:16 said, so the last will be first and the first last. That means I could be standing up here today, but I could be sitting down there tomorrow and you could be sitting up here taking my place. All right, that's what that means. And Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. You know, God, and I have watched that over and over again. God calls many people and he gives them years even to get it together. But then finally he said, enough is enough. Then he walks away and he calls somebody else. Then, you know, people say, well, God said he was going to use me to do this, this, and this, and this. But did you do this, this, and this, and this to line up with what God told you he was going to do with you? You know, you have your part to play in this too. Question you, are you crying out to God to use you? If you are, number one, are you submitted to him? Number two, if you're not submitted to God, then you are not humble and you're not teachable and holy. And four, and therefore God cannot use you. All right, so you have to be submitted to God. You have to be humble and you have to be living holy before God can use you. All right. We need to understand that God cannot use anybody and everybody who comes along. And God's word always says every believer. You know, a lot of people walk in the house of God or sit in the house of God are not believers. They're just sitting in the house of God. And they think that God's going to use them just because they're sitting in the house of God, and that is not true. To be used by God, there's a price you have to pay, and sometimes the price is high. But if you really want to be used by God, you'll pay that price, and you quit mumbling and complaining. We need to understand that God cannot use anybody and everybody who comes along. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You can't be in sin, all right? Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are honorable use, some are for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Talking about the house of God now. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. See that? Correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. You need to understand that maybe right now tonight, sitting in this house, there are people who are not walking holy. They are not walking 100% with God, and they expect God to use them. I told somebody yesterday, if you curse, you cannot go to heaven. And then I had to show them that in the scripture because they like to curse and they think they're going to heaven. You know, the problem with the people is you think you can do anything you want to do, you know, people, and still go to heaven. And that is not true. You either don't know your word, you haven't read your word, you don't know your word, or you've been taught wrong. God has said only the holy shall see him. It is only those who are sanctified and meet for the master's use that he can bless with great usefulness. And that's what verse 21 told us. God wants men and women, and he is hunting for them everywhere. But there are hundreds he has to pass by before he can find the right individual. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. When I was first born again, I kept seeing this eye, and I said, God, what is that eye? And he said, it's me. I'm searching to and fro for those who will truly serve me with all their heart. And God had just showed me recently the eye again. He said, I'm still searching for those who will serve me with all of their heart. You're going to have to give up your sinful ways in order for God to use you. And we know by listening to the news and everything, there are many, many ministers who have fallen, who have been faithful to God, but they got into sin and have fallen. And God is not going to condone that. You might condone it, but God does not condone that. You have to be living a holy, righteous life, walking in love first, and then walking in holiness. If you don't have love, you can't even walk in holiness. Luke 19:17, and Jesus said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. You know, and the Bible says, do not despise small beginnings. You know, a lot of people don't want to have a small church. They want to have 1,000, and they aren't living, right then and there, they aren't living the word to begin with. Do you want to be used by God or do you not? if you want to be used by God, you can hear the truth. And you know, if it steps on your toes, then steps on your toes. Some in this house are living in sin and you know it, and it bothers you to hear the truth. The truth will set you free. And if you think because you preach the gospel that God's not going to get on you when you aren't doing right, you're wrong. He's going to keep you on the right path all the time. God wants to use you, but before you ask him again to do so, see to it that your heart is perfect toward God. Then I guarantee you that you can trust God to show himself strong in your behalf. You know, what you need to do is go home and read about Paul and Peter. Those were two men who lived righteous lives. And they suffered for Christ. And God used them mightily. When God searches for a man to work in his vineyard, he does not ask, does he have great natural abilities? Is he thoroughly educated? Is he a fine singer? Is he eloquent in prayer? And can he talk much? He doesn't ask that. But he does ask, is his heart perfect toward me? Is he holy? Does he love much? Is he willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Does he love me more than anything else? Does he have such childlike confidence in my love for him that he can trust me to use him when he doesn't see any sign that I am using him? You know, too many people in the body of Christ always want God to be using. And sometimes God just waiting to see how you react if he doesn't use you. You know? And God does want us to work, but he's checking your heart out. Why are you working? Are you working for self-edification? Are you working so other people say, oh, well, look at the great works they're doing? Or are you doing it because you love the Father and you just want to fulfill what the Word tells you to do? All right, the seventh thing here is, will he be weary and faint when I correct him? Some of you just failed that. Will he be weary and faint when I correct him and try to fit him for a greater usefulness? Or will he be like Job and say in Job 13:5, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? I know that scripture by heart. How about you? You know, God will put you through the sifter more times than you care to go. And each little sifter that he takes you through gets finer and finer and finer. Because by the time he's finished, you're going to be perfected in him. And people will look at you and know that they can trust you because you emanate Jesus Christ to them. All right? And you know, lately people keep saying, well, you shouldn't have to go through that. And you know, I agreed at first that we shouldn't have to go through that, but why not? Why not? Jesus did. And who am I or who are you to tell God, well, you know, please don't take me down that road. Right? Jesus went down every road for you and I. And we should be willing to do the very same thing. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. All right, let's read that again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You need to get into your word and see what God's really telling you to do. And you need to get in your word and see how you're supposed to be walking. And you know, Paul, he was having a good time in life, wasn't he? Then God just decided to smack him a good one on the road. And then from then on, Paul was in prison more than he was out of prison. He was beaten more times than he cared to be beaten. He was shipwrecked. Everything that could happen happened to him. But he still kept preaching the gospel. Some of you, you get offended and boy, I'm out of the church. I'm out of the church. offense is a terrible thing. And that was one of the biggest things when I was on the road evangelizing. The biggest thing was offense. It was so easy to offend the church. Why? Because they weren't walking where they should be walking with God. My daddy used to always say, the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, keep on walking. You know? And boy, I saw a lot of people putting on the shoe and it fit. In here too, just not on the road. Amen. We go through that though, didn't we? We go through that offense thing. You said, I better do it or she's going to keep on till I do. Right? All right, then God asked, does his heart search my word and meditate on it? Does he wait on me for my counsel and seek me in everything to be led by my spirit? Or is he self-willed so that I cannot guide him with mine eye? God wants to guide each and every one of us in everything that we do. And, you know, the reason why we've run into so many snags in our life is because we didn't put God into it. We didn't ask him, what would you have me do, Father? We said, well, this is what I'm going to do today. That's what you're going to do. But you didn't put God in it. So you did it that day. And God wasn't anywhere around. And if you had a hard day, then you blame it on God. God, where was you at today? You're supposed to be with me. He was. He watched you make your mistakes because you didn't ask him to be with you that day. Psalm 32:9 says, be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Don't be like a mule, like a stubborn mule. Listen to what God's telling you to do. And 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. All right, let's just stop here. You know, a lot of people want signs, wonders, and miracles to follow them, right? But Jesus said, teach the word first. Then after you teach the word, then signs, wonders, and miracles will follow. So what's wrong with teaching, getting people saved? You know, teach about repentance, getting people saved, and then let the miracles fall. Then I'm hearing God say, then the miracles will stick. They won't roll off of the people. Amen. Where are we at, 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, is he a man pleaser and a time server? This is what God's looking for. Or is he willing to wait for his reward? And does he seek solely for the honor that cometh from God only and not from man? Does he preach the word and is in instant, in season, out of season? Is he meek and lowly in heart and humble? God keeps telling me that the church is not humble. Saints, humility is a wonderful characteristic in anybody. And we need to learn to become humble like Jesus was so that we can go, God can use us to send us forth and do the mighty works, the greater works, I should say, than what Jesus did. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So if we work with God, God is going to lift us up, and we don't have to be concerned about what people have to say. All we need to be concerned about is God pleased with me? You know, you shouldn't be worried if somebody else is pleased with you. Is God pleased with me? Because we are supposed to be God pleasers, right? Yes. And, you know, if people all of a sudden think you're the best thing in the world, there might be just something you need to check in your own life. Because you don't want to be a people pleaser. You want to be a God pleaser at all times. When God finds such a man, he will use him. God and that man will have such a friendly understanding with each other and such mutual sympathy and love and confidence that they would once become workers together. What did God tell us? We are now one, right? We are one with God, and we are working with God, not against God, and we are listening to what God is having us say, and we are only doing what God wants us to do. Come on. Church, we are at a crossroad, whether you know it or not, and this is why God is having this review he's been having. before your final test. We are getting ready to cross into one of the greatest events in church history. You need to check yourself out. Will I be able to cross over with everyone else? Or have I backslidden in some areas of my walk with Him and I'm going to miss out on what God wants me to do? Check yourself out continually. Paul was such a man. The more they whipped him and stoned him and tried to rid the earth of him, the more God used him. You hear that? Paul was such a man. The more they whipped him and stoned him and tried to rid the earth of him, the more God used him. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, if you're having one tribulation after another, you ought to be praising God because He's using you. And if you're not having any tribulations and you're just walking along, just nothing's happening in your life, I'd be concerned about my salvation. Because the closer you're walking with God, and the more you tear down the enemy's kingdom, the more the enemy comes after you. And you can't be afraid of what the enemy is going to do to you, your church, your children, your friends. You just have to go ahead and walk with God. Paul wasn't concerned about anything but what God was telling him to do, and he did it. And God even told him that what was going to happen, but still him and Peter both went ahead and followed God and did all he wanted them to do. All right, so finally they shut Paul up in prison, but Paul declared with unshaken faith in 2 Timothy 2, 8 and 10, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering." See that he preached Jesus, but now he's suffering, "bound with chains as a criminal," period. And all he was doing was preaching the gospel. But the word of God is not bound. Paul said, "I'm bound, but the word of God is not. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect." And who's the elect? You and I. That they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul was working for the people, not for what he was going to get out of it. Paul spoke God's word, and neither devils nor men could put shackles on it. But it pierced right through the prison walls and flew across oceans and continents and down through the centuries, bearing the glorious tidings of the blessed gospel, overthrowing thrones and kingdoms and powers of evil, and everywhere bringing light and comfort and salvation to dark, troubled, sinful hearts. That's what you should be doing. You should be out there preaching the gospel, not concerned what people are going to say about you, not concerned what the enemy might do to you, but you should be out there preaching the gospel to set the captives free. All right? 800 years have passed since they cut off Paul's head and thought they had done away with him forever. Yet his usefulness increases and his mighty words and works are bearing fruit today to the good of men and the glory of God. What keeps you going? Reading the word, reading how Paul suffered? Reading how Jesus suffered, because Jesus told me, get into the word and see how they suffered, and then you'll quit complaining. And I think the body of Christ needs to get in the word, read the word more, and see if you're a true disciple, what you're really going to have to go through before you say, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, here I am, use me, use me, use me." You better know what you're asking for. I didn't. And when it all started coming down, I said, "God, what is this?" He said, "I heard you when you said, use me. This goes with it." See, and the Bible said you didn't count the cost. And this is the cost, and now you don't want to pay the price. Then move on, get out of it, because if you stay in it, it doesn't get better. It gets worse. In other words, the enemy's not going to loosen his grip on you. He's going to keep after you until he finds out, hey, they really mean business, and I can't tear them down. And then he'll leave you and move on to somebody else. But until he does it, he can really, really do some tricks on you. All right? You need to get this in your spirit. Do you really want to go into this new glory drop? Do you really want to go into this next move of God that's going to be so fantastic? Do you really want to be used by him? Then you're going to have to know the truth about what you're going to have to go through between now and then. All right? The fact is, God is using everybody that he can and using them to the full extent of their fitness for his service. Did you hear that? He's using everybody that he can and using them to the full extent of their fitness for his service. So instead of praying so much to be used, people should search themselves to know whether they are usable. Are you listening? Are you really usable? I'm going to tell you one thing. It's not so so nice at the top. In other words, when you're a preacher or an evangelist or whatever, you are fought tooth and nail. He comes after you. He comes after your church. He comes after your children. He comes after your jobs. The enemy is relentless. He keeps going on and on and on. It's not nice. You think, oh, well, that they look what they've got, you know, and look how wonderful. No, it's not good. It's not good. But it is great. It really is. Working for God is great. I don't know about you, but are you a fighter? See, if you're a fighter, then God can use you. If you're a quitter, God can't use you. If you're just a little sideline sitter, God can't use you. But I like a good fight. I really do. And the enemy knows me. All right, Paul himself saw dark days. He wrote to Timothy one day and said in 2 Timothy 1:15, "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me." There Paul says, all my friends left me. Everybody just left me. Hey, guess what? Everybody's going to leave you too. They are. They're going, they'll just flatter you to no end. And then one day they're all gone. So don't let that flattery do anything to you. Just make sure you're connected to the Father. Because your friends are going to leave you. The deeper you get in with God, the more your friends aren't going to like you no more. Because they don't like being around you because you're telling them the truth. And they don't want to hear the truth, so they'll just sort of sidle on where they can do the things they want to do and not get under condemnation. You need to study Paul's life in the book of Acts and the epistles and see what conflicts and discouragements he had and take courage. In John 7:38, whoever believes in me, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus was the only one that had the Holy Spirit, and whenever he died, then we received the Holy Spirit also. So everything you see Jesus do in the Word, the Holy Spirit led him, all right? He didn't lead himself, and now God gave us the Holy Spirit when Jesus left, and he said he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you all things. He said, I'm going to give you another comforter. Jesus was our comforter. Then he gave us the Holy Spirit. So if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, God isn't going to use you. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead God and direct you according to my word. And we need to get this together. All right. If you will see to it that you are first a believer. Second, that you are filled with the Spirit. Third, submitted totally and completely to God. Then Jesus will see to it that out of your life shall flow rivers of holy influence and power. Why? To bless the world. So you have to be a believer. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, submitted totally and completely to God. Then Jesus will use you. How many years ago now did God say it? Religion's out the window. No more religion. It's Spirit calling to Spirit. And if you want God to use you, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. Not by your habits, by the Holy Spirit. Eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro in 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And Zechariah 4:10 says, for who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. God is still searching for men and women that he can trust, that he can call into the field and work for him. Are you one of those? Do you fit the criteria that we talked about tonight? Are you really and truly sold out to God, totally and completely? You know, and they brought this here, what's this called, CBD or whatever it's called, and you put them in gummies and said to use it for this, that, and the other. God spoke to my spirit, and he said they are setting up a plot to get everybody addicted to, what is that stuff called? To, what is it called? That green stuff, whatever it's called. Get people addicted to it. And I know a lot of people that have become addicted to that. Instead of trusting God to heal, they are turning to those CBD things or whatever they're called. Pot. I call it pot. Pot. Marijuana. And look, they've legalized marijuana, but God told me, he said, you watch. This is going to happen, and then you're going to have an addicted generation. We need to be addicted to God. We need to be crying out to God for whatever we have need of. Yeah, come on, church. Why isn't the world running into the church? Because they already have what the church has, which is nothing. When I was first born again, I always went to church, but never came born again. And I thought when I went into church, oh, it was going to be the best thing in the world. There was more sin in the church than there was in my workplace. I couldn't believe that. I just couldn't believe that. And it's still going on today. And that was in the 70s when I became born again. When is a church ever going to wake up? When is a church ever going to be true children of God? I want you to ask yourself this. And I want you to search your own heart. Am I really a true child of God? Am I really walking the way God would have me to walk? You know? And if you're walking with God 100%, the enemy's going to come at you every which way he can. And I know a lot of people, some people sitting here in this church tonight, you get all upset when the enemy attacks you. You're right. You leave the church for a week or two. You fight with your husband or your wife. You go on and on and on and on. Why do you do that? It's because you're not sold out to God. You're not ready to be persecuted for Christ's sake. You're not ready to carry a cross. And tonight, God's trying to get you people to carry your cross. He's trying to get you to be totally and completely submitted to him, so he can use you mightily. Are you listening here? You know, you guys, you know, God said he was going to send ministers in here, and he would train them here, and then he would send them out to preach the gospel. And he said, your door will always be a swinging door. And I know what he means now. He sent unsaved people in here to get them saved and to teach them of his ways, and then they either received or rejected. That's why this swinging door is, because he can't find people who will really sell out 100% to him. So they go on to another church who doesn't tell them the truth and doesn't tell them how they need to live in order for God to use them. You can sing and dance and jump and shout and do and you know, go out on the street, but still not go to heaven. If you're not sold out to God and living the godly life, you're still not going to go to heaven. God is trying to get our attention right now because the floodgates of hell are open, is what I'm hearing, and souls are going down into hell every single day. Because, why? Because the church will not submit to the will of the Father. Are you listening? Don't let anything distract you from your calling. You know, whatever it is you're going through, go through it. You have plenty of brothers and sisters around about you who will pray with you. And when you're down, you know what to do with Moses. They held up Moses' hand when he got tired, didn't they? But you find out in the body of Christ, you don't find many people want to hold up the pastor's hand or the evangelist's arms because they want their place. And they want to see them fall. But we aren't like that. We hold each other's arms up and we encourage each other to keep on going. And you need to be an encourager to all those around about you who are serving God and who are undergoing a lot of conflict, a lot of war right now. Encourage them that God is still with them no matter what's going on. Are you hearing me? Come on. This morning, God took me over whenever I was in my prayer, and he said, daughter, he said, every promise I've given you is already coming to pass. And this is what God has promised each and every one of you. Every promise he ever gave us is coming to pass. You know, maybe he started out with the little ones. I don't know. But if you really check your life, you can see where different things are coming to pass in your life. And everything, I'm hearing him say, everything he's told you is coming to fruition. Everything. If you don't grow weary in well-doing, it's all going to come to pass. Quicker, and I'm hearing him say, quicker than you think. Quicker than you think. And what did God tell us? He said to get in the river, didn't he? He said, if you don't get in the river now, whenever the river's flowing, you're going to be standing on the riverbank wishing you'd have got in, but you won't be able to get in. And what has he been saying? There's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth. Isn't that what he said? So where are you going to be standing when the glory hits? Are you going to be in the river? Totally, completely in the river? Or are you going to still be standing on the riverbanks, missing out on everything God said he wants to do in your life? Remember, he told me years ago, I'm going to put you in that river and I'm going to stand on your neck until I drowned you. And every day I said, keep drowning, you know, because every day a little bit of my flesh wants to come back up again. How about you? Don't you find a day, some days your flesh just wants to rule and you have to say, no flesh, stay down. And since God wants to drown me, I tell him it's his job to get my flesh under control because keep standing on my neck until I'm drowned. I'm sorry, guys, but you're going to have to tell God, God, do what you got to do to get me where I got to go. You know, he's not going to go against your will. You're going to have to give him permission, whatever it needs, whatever it takes, God, do it so that I'm your child 100%. All right? Some of you are standing on the very, very edge of hell right now. Because you still have not decided to give him 100% of yourself. So if I was you, I'd really think really hard of where I'm standing and what kind of ground I'm standing on. Are you standing on sinking sand? Are you standing on rock? You need to start telling God, God, give me a vision of where I'm really at. Let me see in what areas of my life are not pleasing to you, and then do whatever he tells you to do. Jesus went forth preaching a hard message. John the Baptist went forth preaching a hard message. Our job is to go forth preaching a hard message, but John the Baptist, I don't know if he did it with love or not, because he was really a wild man, right? But Jesus went forth preaching a hard message, but with love, a lot of love. You know, anybody who preaches a hard message preaches it with love. It takes love to preach a hard message because what you're preaching is, I love you too much to see you go to hell. So John the Baptist, God just showed me. That's what John the Baptist did too. Are you going to preach a message of with love and not let your friends go to hell? You got to think about this. You know, people that you know that are in sin and you don't tell them they're in sin, when you stand before God, their blood is on your hands. That's in the Bible. Do you understand that? And you're going to have to answer to God why you did not tell them the truth. I had to do that with somebody. It was really hard to do. And God said, you better tell them now because I'm going to soon take them. So I had to tell them. And you know what? They just told me I didn't know what I was talking about. Their blood's off of my hands. Now, when they stand before God on Judgment Day, it's all on their head, not on mine. So it doesn't matter what people say to you. You have to tell them the truth. Are you seeking friends or are you seeking souls? Are you seeking fame and recognition or are you seeking souls and God's heaven God look down on you and say, you're the apple of my eye. Amen. I know that Paul and Peter didn't want to go through what they went through, but they did. Will you please think about this right now? Are you going to be in the river? Are you going to be on the riverbank? Are you walking with God 100? Your excuse time's over. Excuse time is over. Been over. You have to be walking with God 100% now. Do you know what's so heavy in the atmosphere? It's the sin in the house of God. People come in the house. God's just telling me this. People come in the house of God, sin laden, and want God to bless them, and he's not going to do that no more. It's either in or out. The altar's open tonight if you really want to sell yourself out totally and completely to God and allow him to bring you to a different height than what you were before you came into the house of God. You need to understand that sin is sin and God doesn't wink at any sin. And you need to understand that if you think that you're not in sin, get in the Word and find out what God is saying about whatever you're doing in life. Because I just feel in my spirit there's some in here tonight, you know that you're saying what God's approving what you're doing and he's not.